is a cellar die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? I want to welcome the great Glenn Usden to our studio. He's from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but he is also the fire chief. How do you say that title?
Now the deputy fire chief in Lancaster Township, Pennsylvania.
Okay, the deputy fire chief in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, but he's been chiefs all over the place. He's a fireman who sells fire trucks. Is that fair to say?
That is the best summary.
And for the record, he's from Long Island.
Oh, yeah. He migrated to Lancaster on a horse and buggy to make all the people there feel at home.
It was a long ride, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. And bumpy.
It took weeks.
Conestoga wagons.
The reason that we have Glenn here is that he makes sales of more than $100,000 on the phone. He'll show people pictures, but in the old days, there were no pictures. And he's able to get people to send him money, big, big money, in an envelope, check or wire transfer or whatever, credit card, to these fire companies literally all over the United States. And he puts the truck on a truck and sends it out there.
Send one today to Arkansas while I'm sitting here with you.
I love that.
And these are, you know, independent fire companies that need a new truck. You know, ding, ding, ding. If you've ever heard it in New York City, it's like, but in the rural things, they only go ding, 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 right?
Don't give up your day job. Okay. We'll keep the sound effects for the sound effects man.
But what I want you to understand, our diehards out there, is that someone can actually make a sale for six figures on the phone and do it all day long. How many of those do you make a year about?
Well, we sell almost 100 trucks a year, and probably 80% of them never meet me. They're done on the phone.
Wow.
That is phenomenal. Now, do you need like a reputation for that or something?
You know, one of the things, and I've been friends with Jeffrey for over 20 years, and one of the things that has really helped me is the preparation. So you just don't go into this cold. I know the business. I've been a fireman for 40 plus years, and being a firefighter and working on fire trucks from the side of actually using them has really given me the preparation. And then learning the customers and getting the customer loyalty. And I can tell you that almost every single time I get a phone call, I say, "Where are you from?" And then I say, "You know, there's a department 20 or 30 miles away that I've sold a truck to." And when they know that you've sold a truck to one of their neighbors, the conversation changes, the tone changes from you. And something I learned from you a long time ago, people hate to be sold, but they love to buy.
That's correct. So, now, that what Glenn is referring to is something called a similar situation. So he's selling a fire truck, and he knows somebody down the road that bought a fire truck just like the one you want. And it automatically puts their mind at ease.
Well, right, but I'm sorry, Jen.
Oh, that's okay. It's instant credibility.
Right.
Because they know those people down the street. They can probably give them a phone call, and they probably do give them a phone call.
Well, even more importantly than that, they've probably been at a fire where the fire truck that I sold somebody 10 or 15 miles away has been at their fire. So they say, "I know that red and white Pierce that you sold them 5 years ago. We see that truck all the time." So it's instant credibility.
That's awesome.
But America, or around the world, wherever you're listening from today, you diehard, and thank you for listening. I want you to understand that Glenn is not just in the $100,000 sale fire truck business. He's saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
And these fire companies, volunteer companies for the most part, are out there in America, sometimes even rural America, and their job is to rescue people that their house is burning or their office is burning or something's burning. And he's in a business where when you make a sale, it's like you feel so good when it's done, don't you?
You feel like you've helped a community. And the niche that my company provides is late model used fire trucks. A new fire truck might cost anywhere from $500,000 up to $1 million, $1.5 million. So people come to me for a 10 or a 15-year-old unit that's 5, 10, or 15 years old. So not only do you feel good with providing a fire unit, but I know that they could never in a million years – and what Jeffrey said, I sell to really small communities. They could never afford a $500,000 fire truck. So the $50,000 or $100,000 or $150,000 unit that I'm selling them is an upgrade from something that's probably 20 or 30 years older.
So what? I'm assuming that all these things arrive there and they're not quite perfect. Do you back it up with service kind of thing?
Yeah, one of the things that we do is we go over the trucks from stem to stern. So we check everything out before it leaves. And we're not selling a new truck, and we tell people that sometimes they have unrealistic expectations and we have to bring them back to earth. But we go through the truck and we know, and I tell people as a fire chief, I would put this truck in my own fire department as easily and as quickly as I would sell it to you. And not only do I say it as idle sales words, but actually back it up.
That's awesome. We have diehards out there who are picking up the phone, you know, 100 times a day, making outbound calls and trying to get through to the prospect. What do you recommend as like the biggest thing they need to do to get through to someone and make that connection?
Ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one of the first lessons I learned in selling was to ask questions and find out. And when somebody calls me up, probably the first thing I do is say, okay, we'll talk about the truck in a minute. Tell me about your fire department. Tell me who you are in the fire department and tailor it to them. Instead of trying to sell them something, I want to find out about them. And I can tell you again, and earlier today, Jeffrey and I were talking about the difference in selling from just 15, 20 years ago. While I'm talking to them, I'm looking their fire department up on the internet. I want to see if they have a Facebook page. I want to see if they have a web page. And I want to see who that person is and where they are in the chain of command. So I'm looking that up. So I will literally, within a minute of talking to them, I know what color trucks they have, where they're located, if they had a big fire a month or so ago. And people will actually say, wow, you guys know a lot about me. And yeah. It's the internet. It wasn't that great. I'm not that smart. But that really helps because all of a sudden you turn them from somebody who is just a cold call to somebody who feels that you really have a connection with them and you care about them.
And Glenn, just for your information, they're Googling you at the same time.
Well, they've probably Googled you before they called you.
You have a reputation. And which has allowed you over the years not to make a lot of outbound calls, but really to get mostly inbound calls. But that inbound call is, you know, they're dripping. It's a destination call. They're looking.
Right.
They're looking. How have you built that reputation?
Well, the biggest thing that we've done is truly do customer service. And I go over and above. And sometimes when something will break on a truck, even if it means that I don't, at the end result, make any money on the deal, I fix it. And I'll actually say to people sometimes, I said, look, I'm going to repair this for you. I said, I want one thing from you. And they'll say, what? I said, I'm going to pay for the repair in full. I want you to send me a letter or a picture that I can put on my Facebook page that says that you had a problem. And not only did you have a problem with the truck, but you fixed it. And that in and of itself, when somebody calls, that goes a real long way. And they always say, of course. So I turn a negative and I tell them, I said, you know, the fire truck broke. I didn't predict that it was going to break. I didn't break it and I didn't know it was going to break. But I'm going to take care of it. You gave me your money. I'm going to take care of you. And I just want to be able to use you and say to somebody else, if I ever have a question about why we should do business with you, can I give them your phone number? And they always say, sure.
Yeah, that's worth way more than profit.
Yeah, because
that's worth 10 more profits.
It's worth 10 more profits because exactly. I can use that. And there's a funny story, but a fella flew in from Arizona to pick up a truck. He got 50 miles outside of our place in Pennsylvania. The engine in the truck blew up. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to fly home. I'm going to rebuild the engine. It cost me $19,000. I'm going to rebuild the engine. And not only that, you don't even have to come back. I'm going to ship the truck to you on a a flatbed truck, and you'll get it in about 30 days. And the guy was like, how much are you going to charge me? I said, I'm not going to charge you anything. I said, that's how I would like to be treated. You paid me the money for the truck. That's how I'm going to treat you.
That's service.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's really way to go. So once you develop this reputation, there's got to be the fire department's convention somewhere in Vegas, right, on an annual basis?
We don't go to Vegas, but yeah, we've got a couple of conventions.
All right, so let's say there's a fire convention in Jersey City or
wherever.
Hoboken.
Right?
Hoboken. That's the hip place now.
Yeah. Right. They talk to one another. I'm sure you go, you know, to these things and glad hand with people, but you develop a reputation over years. You know, you've been doing this for years and years, and people know who you are and that you have reliability.
Yes, it's funny you mention that because our marketing has changed to so much through social media and online that I can tell you that we don't spend as much time going to the trade shows, which was used to be
the only way.
Integral way. Hmm. And there are six or seven trade shows throughout the United States, and we only go to one or two of them. So social media, and I can tell you on my Facebook page, we've got about 110,000 likes. So when we push something out on Facebook, a lot of people see it. And that is truly the number one thing. And people ask me, how do you sell 100 units a year? And social media is where we put all of our time, effort, and energy.
And how are you pretty knowledgeable about it?
I have a good working knowledge. I have a company who I direct that does the actual posting and the pushing and of that. But I certainly can tell you that I have a very good working knowledge of it. And I think if you want to own a business in 2018, if you are not familiar with at least the basics of how social media marketing work, particularly Facebook, you're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
Big time
mm-hmm.
boat, especially when you're trying to prove what you're selling is accurate because your customers will prove it for you.
The customers will prove it, and they are your best selling. So anytime that we get a good customer story, we put that on social media.
That's cool. A lot of companies think that they don't need to have a Facebook page because, well, what are they going to post in there? Do you post tips for your followers?
We do a combination.
Always have a bucket of water handy.
Yeah.
That's the tip.
Yeah, we do a combination of units that we have for sale. Mm-hmm. And we, as a active fire chief, mm-hmm. In fact, here today with you in Charlotte, I missed a big fire back home, which I'm sure I'll get ribbed about for hours.
Oh.
But as a fire chief, I will post other things that relate to people in the business, such as other apparatus purchases that major cities have had or firefighting tips or even apparatus tips. So I don't want it to be – I think that when you can not only provide product knowledge but general educational information on the things that our customers are interested in, you're one step above just trying to push or shove the things you have for sale on them. It's not as effective as giving them, of course, the products you have for sale, but also general information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, value. There's something that someone can use.
Yes.
To be either be a better fire department or to put out a fire, actually, or to rescue a life or something about what they can do when they have the truck.
Right. One of the things that we had for years, we had done a educational training seminar. We ran it around the country, and the funding for people to attend those kind of dried up. So we're looking at some online components of giving some education
mm-hmm.
and to be not just a company that sells things, but a company that provides education that they can need. And one of the things that's most valuable is our customers really are these really, really small fire departments. Charlotte and New York City and Philadelphia aren't buying a fire truck from Glen Usden. The places where we sell these fire trucks literally have 100 or 200 people in the community. So anything that we can provide them is helpful.
And so how do you deal with price objections? Glenn, your price is too high.
Yeah, Glenn.
When somebody says that our price is too high, we always go back about the benefit of dealing with our company. And one of the things that we do is we provide a lot of value-added services. So they could buy a fire truck from one of our competitors that's a broker right out of a firehouse. When you buy a fire truck from me, we bring it into our facility. We certify everything. We check it from front to back. We put their names on it. We re-letter it the way they want it. So these are all value-added services. So as we talked about earlier, it's not the price. It's the cost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a cool thing?
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, our price may be a little higher than people in the marketplace, but our overall cost over the next 5 years will be way, way lower.
Just a simple aspect of having the truck serviced before they get it. When you buy a truck from one of our competitors right out of the firehouse, if it breaks, there's no warranty. There's no guarantee. Yeah. Nobody's checked anything. When you get it from me, we've gone over it. And we give you a 3 or 4 month warranty too.
I think you have an ideal business because there is big time value for years and years after the product is delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, you could tell me what's Americana, but I would say police and fire in this country at this moment, who are really valued at this moment, are a big part of that.
Yeah, there's really nothing more pure in the American way than people volunteering, and 95% of our customers, maybe even 99% of our customers, are volunteer fire departments.
Wow.
And these are people that work all day as farmers and work in a factory and work as other jobs, and they volunteer their time and put their lives on the line to protect the businesses, the buildings, and the people in their community. So there are no finer people in the United States.
Weren't you connected at one time with a school, teaching with a school?
Yes. One of the things that we did back in the early 2000 era was we ran a school called Command School, where we actually would have 6 or 8 schools around the country, and we would bring instructors in and would teach them firefighting techniques. And it was a totally non-product related school. So we would do these schools. It was a 2 or 3 day school, and would give the instruction in how to run an incident command. And it was extremely, and it was not only was it well received, but at almost every school we were at, 15 or 20 people would come up to us and said, "This was a really good school. By the way, we have a fire truck for sale, or we're going to be buying one." So it was just, it was a real, it had, a real lead generation. And people were pleased when they left the school.
Well, you should bring that back.
Well, that's one of the problem is that the actual cost of having the school, the funding for people to, as municipal budgets have pulled back quite a bit, the funding to send people to a school in even 100 or 200 miles away would take a couple of days and travel. So the financial aspect of actually getting people to attend the schools got very difficult.
I bet you could teach it online.
Well, that's what we're exploring. some online.
Totally online.
Then there's no travel.
There you go. Yep.
Glenn, is there one tip you would like to leave us with if you're home or you have an apartment or home, the best way that you can prevent a fire from happening?
Yes. First thing is always, always, always have a smoke detector in your house and make sure that twice a year when you change your clocks, you change your batteries, because having an active working smoke detector is the first deterrent that saves people's lives.
Even when your bacon burns?
Even when your bacon burns. Yeah. Or your matzo brie.
There you go, exactly. Or your bacon and matzo brie.
So I want to thank Glennison for coming down all the way from Lancaster to appear on our show live. He has to get back into his fire truck, unfortunately, and drive it back to Lancaster full siren. Full bells and whistles.
I've got the horses outside hitched up.
I want to thank you for coming here today.
It's always a pleasure to come down. See you guys. Thank you.
This has been a Cellar Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.